pleasure. It's always a joy to be at Community Baptist Church. And by the way, I meant to do this morning. I want to thank you for your regular monthly support to help me out with our ministry. You know, it buys the gas and tolls and all that. And I really appreciate the support that you give me every month. And thank you, Pastor, also. I write them. As a matter of fact, I haven't had a missionary letter in quite a while. It's time to go out. But anyhow, we appreciate it. By the way, Brother Derek, I got to tell you a story about a church down in at Browns Mills, New Jersey, Cornerstone Baptist Church. And I told the pastor when he was being installed, the pastor, the preacher down in Texas, I think his name is Gary Coleman. And Gary Coleman told the story when he went to his first church. He's just young, and he's only 19 or 20 years old. He was out visiting one of the deacons, and he said to the deacon, he said, "How come you call me to be the pastor? You have a lot of men with a lot more experience and a lot older and more experienced. Why did you call me to be the pastor?" He said, "Well, I didn't want to say anything." I told this story when this guy came to call the pastor. He said, "But the reason was, we needed a piano player, and your wife plays the piano. Your wife plays the piano, and that's why they called you." Now, that I don't say this while I'm on the subject, before I cut my own throat. Brother Derek is a fine man, and Brother Janky knows that and appreciates that. And I'll be honest with you, if I was looking for someone to work with me, I need a good piano player. But seriously, I appreciate Brother Derek. I appreciate the day. Your hospitality is great, and you're very fortunate. Who's good for you? Brother Janky and Brother I mean, I may be so old, but I'm not. But that's the senile time. How many believe you ought to be able to have fun in church? I do. You know, some people think you got to be, and you know, everyone's going there with a long face. That's not my style. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of the will of God for your life. We think about the will of God. We always think about the will of God for preachers and for missionaries and. And that, you know, God has his perfect will for every born-again Bible-believing Christian. And the important thing is being in God's will, not in your will. I mean, I know some fellas that have gone into the ministry and they weren't supposed to be in the ministry. And I know some that haven't gone to ministry that ought to be in the ministry. The thing is knowing God's will for your life. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter. This is one of my favorite verses. I have to be careful. I preach on it every Sunday if I had my way. But in Romans the 12th chapter, the first three verses, the Bible tells us some things here that we need to know. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of God given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many in one body, in Christ, and every member, one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, for the prophet," and it goes on to give a list of some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God. Let us pray. God bless the message tonight. May it be an encouragement to this church. We thank you for this church. We thank you for its growth. We thank you for the things that have been done here in the last few years. And we ask you to continue to bless and guide and bless with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Did you put new lights in here? Put new bulbs in? I always remember being in here kind of a little dingy, and it's real nice and bright the way I like it. You know, I know it's not. Well, it's not the Christmas light. It's more than the Christmas light. What we need, your building looks good. Just everything seems to be going in the right direction. And you've got I met a lot of new faces, met some old ones too, but a lot of new, what are you laughing at, Henry? and a lot of new faces. But God has been good to the church, hasn't it? Amen. Now let's look at this verse of scripture to start off. First of all, he beseeches that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We give ourselves to God. Holy and acceptable, which is holy and acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service to give ourselves to God. And we're not to be conformed with the world. We're not to we're to have a new mind thinking about Jesus. And we're to know what God's will is for us. God's will for your life. Now, you need to know it. You need to know God's will. You say, how in the world can I know God's will? Well, there's a lot of ways. I believe this. There is nothing more certain that you need to know than knowing God's will for your life. And know what God wants you to do and what and how you get it done. God always reveals his will to those that he wants to use if they're ready to have an open mind to serve him. You say, Lord, what do you have me to do? Now, you need to keep that in mind. The will of God is simply doing exactly what God wants you to do in the way God wants you to do it with a biblical attitude to perform it God's way. That's what you need to do. The will of God is not hard to find. The will of God is not hard to do. The will of God is not hard to know because God will reveal it to you. And I'll tell you how in a little bit. The will of God pertains to your actions and your attitudes, having the attitude you want to do God's will. Not saying, well, I'm going to pray and ask for God's will, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. You can't do that. We need to know God's will as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have scripture and do what the scripture says. God's will is not just all doing the same thing. God has different plans for different people, different jobs for different people, different responsibilities for different people. In a local church, each person has a responsibility. It's something they ought to do. You say, well, I don't have anything. I just come. You need to ask God what you have to do. Hey, Alcoholics Anonymous has got better sense than a lot of churches. When you start, I don't know, I've never been in a 12-step program before. So I want you to know that first. But you go there. They have jobs. One guy makes the coffee. One guy does this. People give testimony. They've used a lot of things that we've been doing for centuries to help people. And there's something to it, giving someone a job to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we think of God's will, we think of occupational God's will, like someone goes into the ministry. But you know, if you go to a job every day, you have a responsibility to that job, to the people that work at that job, as they're going against Christians. Not for the job, but you have a responsibility to go there with a testimony, and as they have opportunity to share the word of God where you work. I teach up at New England Baptist College. They were here a few weeks ago, weren't they? Was Sunday night? Okay. I teach at New England Baptist. I'm teaching missions in the local church. You know, people have a wrong idea on missions. They have the idea that missions is some guy comes in, he's going to go to East Timbuktu, someplace that no one else wants to go to take the gospel, and he's a missionary. A missionary is not place, but a missionary is reaching people. You know, when God gave in Acts the first chapter, the 8th verse, God says that you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. Of the earth. Let me go back and get it right. I used to know all these things when I was young and sensible. It says, the uttermost parts of the earth. I kept saying world instead of earth. It's our responsibility. Now, he told the early church. He told the early church to be in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to be the most popular of the earth. Get it right. Now, did they do it? They didn't. Right off the bat, Christians were disobedient. From day one, they were told to spread the gospel until the end. Turn to Acts, the 8th chapter, the first verse. And Saul, this is Saul. This is Saul before he gets saved. Paul before he gets saved. And Saul was consenting unto the death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And of course we see that Stephen was killed because of the persecution. Well, let me read the next couple of it. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and the great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering through every house and hauling men and women, committing them into prison. You know why the persecution came? Huh? They were disobedient. They were disobedient. And knowing God's will and doing God's will doesn't mean you come to the altar tonight, you say, Brother Horton, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And hey, the Spirit of God wants me to do God's will. And I want to do God's will, and I'm surrendering now to go eat Timbuktu to help that other guy. You don't have to commit yourself to eat Timbuktu. You might need to commit yourself to Garfield. You know, help that cat reach the community. You know, how many old Garfield cats? You know about this? Okay, I just want to make sure people knew what I thought. But anyway, God wants you to do God's will. And God wants you to do God's will through the ministry of Community Baptist Church of Garfield, New Jersey. He wants you to do the will of God in this church. How can you do that? Turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I'll find it. Here we go. And the 23rd verse. In Hebrews 10:23, the Bible says, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. First thing you have to do is hold fast to what you believe, to the Word of God, without wavering, for He is faithful to promise. Now remember, you have to hold fast, but He's faithful. He'll help you. You don't have to hold on to your own. It's like falling off a cliff. Now, if you're going to fall off a cliff and you've got some big, strong guy with big hands holding you, you'll be a lot better than some 8-year-old weakling holding you, right? Well, you have the power of God holding you. And so we need to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful to promise. Now, first of all, hold fast. Secondly, let us consider one another to provoke unto our love and to good works. Consider other people. Consider other people in the church. Consider the needs of the other people in the church. Consider the problems of other people in the church. Think of these things. Think of the problems and how you can help them. You know, too many times, Christians are willing, someone messes up. Let's pick on John. I haven't picked on him in a while. Let's say John does something wrong. And he's got himself in a mess. And I go, I don't know a lot of your people's names. You may be disproportionate, I don't. But Brother Johnson, right? Pick on Brother Johnson. So, Brother, he's in trouble. Brother Johnson and Brother Derek need to go and say, John, we know you get yourself some problems. How can we help? What can we do to get you out? And to help us. Christians aren't that way. They're ready to dump on something and find fault, criticize. And say, oh, you can see it coming. We need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, do God's will, and to provoke one another, to help one another, to be encouraging one another. Then the last verse, in verse, we saw 24, to love, consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. And verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the man is exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to church. Be here when you can. You know, make it a point. Now, I realize in my early days, I was a little nasty on this stuff. I realize that sometimes people will miss church for reasons. I think some reason this church. If you're dead, I think you ought to miss. If you're in the hospital, I think you ought to miss. But I think there are some legitimate reasons to miss church. You know what I find happens over the years? You miss once, and then it's easy to miss twice. Before you know it, it's easy to just miss. And become, and I've seen it happen too many times over the years. Just be faithful. Just say yes. And that's one way to know the will of God. Now, I'm going to give you some points on how to know the will of God. And then I've got some other things I want to talk to you about the will of God. One way to know the will of God, first of all, is it's scripture. Is it scripture? Is it what God would? Is there anything in the Bible to prohibit someone from taking that, serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a scriptural thing to know the will of God? Now, this is ridiculous what I'm going to say, but it's a true story. A friend of mine told me about this story, and he wouldn't lie to me. A girl had come to hear him who was an exotic dancer. In crude terms, a stripper. And got saved. And she went to the pastor, and she said, "Pastor," and she told him what she did, and she said, "I want to strip for Jesus." Now, that's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. It's wrong. Is it scriptural? Is it right? Is it obedient to the Word of God? You want to know the will of God? Make sure it's scriptural. Number two, pray about it. Really pray. Make earnest prayer. And don't justify it. I heard a good illustration this morning about a guy who wanted a laptop computer. How many heard that story about the laptop computer? And he prayed about it. And he justified it in his own mind that he was going to go out and spend whatever they cost. And all of a sudden, God gave him. Derek told that story. Come on. Pray about it. Trust God to work out the details. But first of all, if it's scriptural, pray about it. Number three. Confess every known sin in your life. Every known sin in your life. I always pray, Lord, if there's any sin in my life, to keep me from having power as I preach the gospel tonight, show me. I confess everything I know, and then I ask him, show me if there's any known sin. Confess any known sin. Number four, obey every known scripture. Maybe you're here and you've never followed the Lord and believed it's baptism. You need to follow the Lord and see the pastor say, I'd like to be baptized. Identify himself with the Lord Jesus Christ. More community baptism. Obey every known scripture. Then, is the Spirit of God leading you in that direction? Is he giving you a burden for that direction? Let me give you an illustration. There's a young man. He's an assistant pastor not far from here now. And it's not the guy who was talking about here. It's somebody else. And his pastor, he wanted to plant a church. And down around Washington, New Jersey, between Washington and Bedminster in that area. And they want to plant a church. And we had a church building. We've got a church building. We have to find a pastor for. We use the building. We have to pay the utilities. We have to pay. And I'll be bugging your pastor if it's the support for the guy to take it. But well, we got this building lined up. So me being very... Like Nashville, well, why not? Instead of starting a church there, why don't you come and take this building? Okay? That sounds good. Then this time, right? And I said to him, Andy, what do you think? You got this building, you want to start a church here? And he said, Pastor, the Lord's really laying on my heart to start a church in this area. And this guy wants to know the will of God. I practically wrestled to the ground to start a church in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And, you know, but the thing is, he feels the Lord wants us in that place. And I can't explain it. But when God calls you to a certain place, you go to it. You take it. And to know God's will, that's where God wants you to be, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we float around in the air, flying here and there. You stay put where you are, you serve the Lord where you are, and let the Holy Spirit of God lead you. Now, something else you need to do. I don't know how many points I've given you so far, but whatever the next number is, you need to get godly counsel. You need to talk to your pastor. See, I'll not help a young man start a church if he hadn't talked to his pastor. Suppose, I'll use Derek for example. He's not looking to go any place. He's happy where he is. He's going to stay here, Lord willing, forever. But if he came to me today and he said, Brother Horton, we were having lunch, and he said, Brother Horton, I'd like to, could you help me find a church? You know what I'd say? I'd say, Brother Derek, could you talk to him? I would help a man until he starts with cash. And then I'll talk to him. Now, in his case, put him out of sight. But let's say Joe Jones over here, he may not be ready. And his pastor said, you know, Brother Horton, I think he's going to plant a church, but I think he needs a little more seasoning here in our church. You see, get godly counsel. And then leave it in the Lord's hands. And the Lord will open up the door. And you step through. And you'll know the Lord's will. You'll know the Lord's will. And that's what you need to do. You have to let Him do it. And have to trust Him to let Him know His will in your life. Now, what are the benefits of knowing God's will? First of all, if you're doing God's will and you want to know God's will and you want to do what's right, He'll guide you into the path that it had you to go. He'll guide you in the right direction. He'll guide you, first of all, in a righteous path. We all can quote Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? You quote the 10th verse? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto all good works which God has before ordained. And I misquoted that one too. But anyway, you need to do the work of God. Now, God doesn't lead you let's say someone comes forward tonight and gets saved. And he said, God's calling me to preach. Can I preach this? We got a guy coming a Sunday morning. He wanted to preach that night. But you're going to be kidding. I said, well, let you come a while and we'll pray about that. You know, I was trying to be kind and nice. God doesn't lead you. God doesn't lead you someplace that you can't handle. God will put you in a place where you can do it. I'd rather take a church of 50 and build it to 200 than take a church of 500 and build it to 200. Amen? I think we need to do it. And everybody has not the same gift. I didn't realize this. You know, I get a lot of phone calls, guys looking for churches. There are some guys that are looking for jobs. They don't go get themselves an engineering degree or something if they're looking for a job. But if they're looking for a ministry, you go where God called you to go. Some of these guys balance out what the salary is, what the benefits are, what the retirement package is, and how many days a week they have to work, and how little they can do to get as much as they can. So those guys can starve to death as far as I'm concerned. I think a man needs to say that this is what God wants me to do, and do it. And do what God wants you to do. Sometimes God will lead you in some places you don't want to go. You know, I used to travel through New Jersey when I was in the Navy, and then when I was pastoring in Pennsylvania. But I used to come up from Virginia, and I come up across the Delaware Memorial Bridge and up the Turnpike. And Newark, you know what Meadowlands is? It was a garbage dump. How many remember when they were just smoking garbage dump? And I used to say, who in the world want to live here? And God called me to Central Baptist Church in Avenel, New Jersey. So the preacher said, he was still there, and he said, why don't you come out and preach the revival, and then we'll vote and see if it happens to come be the pastor. Well, I come out and tell the revival, and they voted to call me as the pastor. I told him, I said, you know, Brother Jim, I just don't feel led to pastor Central Baptist Church. Well, anyway, that went back. I was working in Ohio, planning churches out of a big church there. And Brother Gent came to, he was holding a meeting for Dave Blake. He may have been here with his group in connection. He's vice president up there now. And he's holding a meeting for Dave, and I went on a Monday night, and I went to him and said, Brother Gent, can we have lunch together tomorrow? Breakfast tomorrow. He said, yeah, why don't you pick me up from my motel? So I went by the motel, and I walked in. He was putting his tie on or something, and he said, did you ever think about taking the church? And I said, yeah, but I didn't know how to go about it. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll have you come back and candidate again. And you come and preach, and I'll have a candidate. And if we call you, you've got to promise me you'll take the church. I got my word. Guess what? Huh? They call me. Guess what? I gave my word. Guess what? I said, well, I'll go over there and see what's happening. Stay 25 years. I mean, that's for a short-term pastor, I think that's pretty good. Stay 25 years. You see, the will of God. God had to twist my arm a little bit. You know, he has to do that. God wants God's will for your life. Now, most of you people, God's will is to stay in this church, be a blessing to the pastor, be encouragement to the pastor. And now, by the way, while I'm here, you know what you need to think about? Think how you can be a blessing to a pastor. There's a lot of little things to do. Send them a card every once in a while. Tell them. We appreciate it. Take him out to dinner. Take him and his wife out to dinner once in a while. I was in a church in Long Island, church. I was finishing up. And you know, some of you people ought to take the pastor out for dinner once a year. Just think about it, once a year. That should do it, just an encouragement. Lie to him a little bit. Tell him what a great guy he is. No, seriously. But you know, preachers need encouragement every once in a while. It can be discouraging work. Let him know you care for him. Let him know how he can be a help. Because it's God's will that you serve in this church. Now, knowing the will of God guides us into the path that God would have us to go. He leads us in a righteous path, not a bad path. A path that he wants us to go. And we want to follow that path. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work. He wants a redounding path as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to serve him faithfully, do what we can do. He leads us in a rejecting path. We reject what's wrong and do what's right. Amen? We reject what's wrong and we do what's right. Serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He guides us in that direction. So we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God as we know the will of God and do the will of God. Then he gives us the peace of God. In the center of God's will, you will have the peace of God in your life. The peace of God. What is the peace of God in our lives? Well, let's turn to Romans 5:1. And Romans, the fifth chapter, the first verse. And the Bible tells us, in Romans, the fifth chapter, the first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of glory. Not only so, we glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation works patience. And it goes on there. We can know the peace of God. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit of God in Galatians, the fifth chapter, the 22nd verse, is peace. The peace of God in your heart. We have that. We not only have the peace of God, we have harmony with Christ, we have hope in Christ, we have happiness in Christ, and we have faith and trust that he will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Based on the Word of God and the comfort of the Spirit of God to help us and serve the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So, he gives us guidance as believers. He gives us peace, of the peace of God, and we gain protection in the center of God's will. God will give you protection if you're doing God's work in the center of God's will. He'll protect us from evil. That keep us away from wrongdoing. Turn to James, the fourth chapter, the seventh verse. James, the fourth chapter, and verse 7. And the Word of God tells us that in this portion of the Word of God, the fourth chapter of James, the seventh verse, the Bible says, submitting yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Live close to God. To God is the Spirit. 2 years ago, I got a telephone call on a Saturday night, about 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. How many know what Beth Israel Hospital is today? That is not the best neighborhood to walk around at 11 o'clock at midnight on a Saturday night, right? Now, I'm not going to make hospital calls in Newark at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on a Saturday night. You plan on it. But I got a phone call. A young kid was dying. I said to my wife, I've got to go. I went to the hospital. I knew what God wanted me to go. I went and did what God wanted me to do. And that's just God's will. Now, to go down to Newark tonight is not the thing I want to do. You know, God will take you. If you're in the center of his will doing his business, he's got to protect you. Another story. I probably shouldn't tell this one, but anyway. I was pastoring in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I got a call one night. It was back during the Vietnam War. And it was right after Thanksgiving. It was about like tonight. Well, no, it's last night. And this kid had got a phone call. And this lady called me, said that the son was there, he had a gun, he had some problems. And I went over there. I said, I told my wife on the way out, the guy's got a gun, and everyone's all upset, and they don't know what to do. I walked in the house, and I said, let's have the gun. Near before he was in Vietnam, he shot somebody. He shot people before. The guy was laying there and he was alive and he was in pitiful condition. It was on his mind. And we prayed together and I took him to the VA hospital. That night, I got home about 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. You see, if you're doing God's work and God's will, but some guys out there with a gun, look, I got orders in the bathroom. You know, you have to make sure you're doing it for your God. And don't you go out and do anything stupid because I saw some of these stupid stories with many young people. But seriously, God will protect you. He'll protect us from chastising. He'll protect us from defeat. He'll protect us from failure. He'll protect us from deception. You say it with the Word of God. There's a lot of cults and isms and schisms out there. God wants to take care of you. And then last of all, in the center of God's will, God will grant you the power of God. When you go soul winning, you go out with the power of God. Never go to a man about God until you think of God about that man. I want to witness to somebody. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to bathe him in prayer. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill me. And I'm going to ask him to use the scriptures to draw him to himself. It's too much of this 1, 2, 3, pray with me. We need to have the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God to get people saved. Amen? And let Jesus Christ have his will in you. Know the will of God. Do the will of God. Israel, I'm not sure. Just pray about it. Don't get in a sweat about it. Just do what God wants you to do. And God will give you your victory. You don't need it. He'll help you. He will just help you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And just be close to you. We don't know, are not sure what the will of God is. May they pray about it. May they look to the Scripture. May they get godly counsel from your pastor or all the godly Christians who they come in contact with. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to help you to know the will of God. We know it's the will of God for everyone here to serve through this church, and so God, as long as they're faithful in serving you, we ask you to bless them, guide and direct. Bless the invitation. Use it for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and you're not sure about your salvation, I'm going to pray for you. Just put your hand up. Please, you pray for me. I'm not going to come down and drag you out of here. Just pray for me. Maybe you're here and you'd like to know the will of God. You say, preacher, please pray for me. I want to know God's will for my life. Please pray for God's will. Come and meet us in the spirit.